Turn your Bibles with me to Luke 24, verse 13 to 29. Luke 24. Actually, maliit lang po yung verse na gusto kong basahin dito, pero akunin dito, pero gusto ko pong basahin na rin natin. If you are there already in your Bible, you read with me. I'll be reading from English para po madali na kaunti. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we were hoping it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But it constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And that's actually the verse I'd like to pick out from this passage. This is story. Sa Tagalog po, sa verse 29, tumuloy ka muna rito sa amin. Malapit na ang gabi, dumidilim na, sabi nila. Kaya't sumama nga siya sa kanila. Let us pray. Our Father, O Lord, you have manna for us today. You have truth for us today, Lord. We worship you from our hearts. Our body, soul, and spirit worship you today. Lord, we pray that you will feed us with your fresh bread from heaven. This in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So abide with me. Abide with us. Abide with us. Sabi, abide with us, sabi po nila sa kanila. For it is toward evening. You know, there were two directions that I felt that I could go with this phrase, abide with us toward, because it is toward evening. And that would be, in my mind, very prophetic. But I feel that go the other track, and the other track is hindi po prophetic kung hindi po ito ay sabihin ko na lang na mensahe sa puso, you know. So mensahe sa puso nating lahat. The phrase abide with us capsulizes to us the yearning of every maturing Christian. Yun po yung phrase, yung saknong na kung saan ay nagpapakita sa atin ng pagnanasa ng bawat isang lumalagong Kristiyano. And there's never been a time as now that we need to be asking the Lord, Lord, abide with me or abide with us. The two unnamed disciples were so privileged with very precious presence of the Lord in his post-resurrection appearance. This is post-resurrection appearance. For those of us who were privileged to grow up with a father in the house, yung pong tumanggap ng pribileyo na tayo ay lumaki, nakasama natin ang ating tatay. No, sa tahanan, sa eskwalahan. Alam ko, lalo na kaming mga lalaki, pag kami ay binubuli, no po, at hindi kami makadaan sa isang kalye dahil natatakot kami na rin yung aming mga kaaway, and yet pag nandyan yung tatay namin, walang bully na pwedeng humarap sa amin. How many of the guys here can identify with that? When you were young, meron kayong kaaway, pero dahil kasama niyo yung tatay nyo, baliwala sila sa inyo. And that's the presence of security and confidence that each of us can have. With the presence of God in our life, there is safety, security, and confidence. You know, and many times, as a young person, siyempre merong mga bully, you know, hindi mawawalan yan. Lalo na kung ikaw ay madala sa basketballan, at lumaki ka doon, maraming mga bully po diyan. And we thank the Lord na meron po tayong tatay. Now, for us, we are privileged to grow up with the Father, you know, na kasama po natin, na naririyan. Alright, so you can identify with that. Many years ago, when our youngest sibling was born, this was a girl. Actually, si Noel ay hindi po bunso. Meron kaming bunsong babae na namatay after a few days that she was born. Now, she died. But on the night that my mother was given birth, ang nanay ko po ay sa tatlong anak niya, kay Ray, kay Noel, at kay John, siya po ay nanganganak sa bahay. Tumaduro na lang po. I remember those days, my father was in Mindanao at that time. This was the period of his life when he was just out of the military and he was wanting to till the land that his father left him. At siya po ay nasa Mindanao at the time, and my mother was giving birth, you know, in the house. And of course, ako maduro na came, you know, and we were all nervous. I was very nervous. I was in grade 5, you know, and alam niyo naman po yung tense yun, or tense situation pagka hindi mo alam, you know, kung mabubuhay, mamamatay, and things like that. I didn't know, no, too much when I was younger. So I was very nervous, and I thought I'd pray, and I prayed to the God that I knew then. And so, anyways, the baby was born, you know, and the following morning, because meron naman mga tumutulong sa nanay ko, I had to go to school, but my mind was at home. And then I was just so happy and elated. You know, that morning when I came back from school, between, alam mo, umuwi tayo, di ba, nung araw, para kumain, tapos babalik sa school. You know, at kadalasan na magbubulakbol na ako sa hapon, manunod ako ng Fernando po, you know. So anyway, that's beside the point, but so happy was I to see my father, to find my father washing the bed sheets, you know, from which was bloodstained by the giving birth of my mother. I was just so overjoyed. Then nakita ko yung tatay ko, he's back. You know what? A pleasant, and never forget, it's so vivid, still in my mind, you know, how that I found my father washing all the bloodstained sheets na ginamit ng gabi niyon. And so that is the security and the safety and the confidence, you know, that we can find knowing that we are in the presence of God. And I thank the Lord for such a sensitivity. The song Abide With Me, I asked Him to sing, but the rest, the others, I didn't. But thank God for that, because it prepared my heart. I pray that it also prepared yours for this day's message. Abide with me. And I picked it out, that phrase, you know, to as a springboard of the three things that I'd like to share with you. And these pointers of mine are stated in the form of prayer. You know, so point number one being, Lord, abide with us. Lord, abide with us. Why? Because we need you to drive our fears away. Lord, abide with us. Because we need you to drive our fears away. To drive our fears away. So when we were walking past the bullies, you know, of our childhood days, we were clinging to our father's hand, you know, clasping, you know, indeed, talagang higpit yung pagkahawak natin sa kanya. At we were so proud, you know, we were so secure with our father's hands with us. The question is, have we experienced being afraid? And all of us can, of course, say yes. We have been afraid of something or someone, of a thing, you know. We have been afraid. At tayo po nakaka-relate dito sa feeling na ito. At it's good, you know, even for adult men, for us, to admit that we've been afraid. And sometimes we are still afraid. tayo ay natatakot din. And this is a natural emotion, being afraid, you know, being fearful, fearing something is a natural emotion. And even the greatest of men in the Bible, they encountered fear. They were afraid. And God did not condemn them for that. In fact, the Lord encouraged them. The father of our faith, Abraham, kahit ang pinakadakila mga lalaki at tinuno sa Biblia ay nakaranas ng takot, kahit minsan man. Una na si Abraham, sa Genesis 15 and verse 1, sabi po doon, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Hindi na sabihin ang vision kay Abraham, kundi siya natatakot. Abraham was afraid. Afraid of what? He was getting older, you know, and he was 75 when he received the promise of God, getting more old, you know, and not having received the promise. Siya po ay natatakot. Ano mangyayari? Ano ang kinabukasan? Another leader who was afraid was Joshua. So Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, and you know, the promise of God for them was there was no enemy that would be able to stand before them. All of them would be defeated. But after Jericho's victory, they suffered defeat at Ai. Sila po ay natalo sa Ai. And for that, Joshua became afraid. So in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1, the Lord now comes to Joshua and tells him, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given you into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. After the issue was resolved, the issue with Achan, the sin in the camp, was taken care of, God, you know, empowered them so that they were able to defeat the enemy. But there was an instance that Joshua was afraid, and God was there to encourage his heart. Jeremiah was a mighty prophet of God. And yet, we know, when God called him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, one of the first words of God to him was, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. You know, and that word should go to me, should go to every pastor and missionary called by God. Because sometimes you're afraid of people's faces, especially when we go to other lands, you know, and we are told by the Lord to speak forth His word with boldness and clarity. Sometimes we're afraid to do so. God knows where we are. He knows what's happening inside us. He knows when we feel afraid or frightened. He only has encouraging words for you and I. Meron po siyang pampalakas ng kalooban. And Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My heart goes out to Vice President Leni Robredo, you know. My heart goes out for her because she was fearful. She was afraid what would it look like, you know, when she meets the president. Because in snub na po siya ng dalawang buwan, you know, she was snubbed. Never contacted at all. And she was not given a cabinet position until now. And so that was the first meeting the other day when there was a turnover of command at the Armed Forces of the Philippines in Camp Aguinaldo. And she was afraid. She didn't know what to do. And how delighted she was, you know, when, you know, the president approached her and greeted her and offered her the cocoa water and all this. And, you know, all the fears and the, you know, the fears were gone. And she was just like, you know, a teenager. That's how I saw her, you know, meeting her crush. You know, she was giggling. She was all smiles. And if you've read from the news that her daughters were scolding her, tawa ka ng tawa dun. You know, that's the feeling. I saw in her such, you know, a relief. Na nawala yung kanyang mga fears suddenly, babait pala itong presidente ko sa akin, suddenly, you know, naging vibe sila, sa madaling sabi, ganoon. And sometimes it happens to us when we're about to go to an office, a higher office, a person of dignified, and we don't know how to conduct ourselves. We're afraid of embarrassing ourselves. Things like that happen with us. To continue on with my point in illustration of great men of God, we're afraid. And so it's all right to be afraid. You know, when we happen to have the fear, it's all right sometimes be frightened. Gideon was one of them. Si Gideon po ay sinabihan ng Diyos at tumungo sa kampo ng kaaway sa kabila ng kanyang pagkatakot. You know, when you look at the story of Gideon, Gideon in himself was not very brave. He was not very brave. He was a person, perhaps we might say, that has a problem with self-esteem. He does not look at himself, you know, in the way that God looks at him. And many of us are like that. Hindi natin nakikita yung potential na nakikita ng Diyos sa atin. And we need to discover them. We need to allow those potentials to be honed up, you know, to be practiced until we become skillful with them. So Judges 7 and 9, it happened in the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to camp with Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." And so we find, you know, the verse that comes after this, "Then he went down with Pura." Then he went down with Pura. Reading between the lines, you know, Gideon was afraid. Sabi niya, "Kung kayo natatakot, you know, isama mo si Pura." Pagkatapos, sabi ng salita ng Diyos, at yumaon si Gideon at isinama si Pura. Takot. You know, takot itong si Gideon. But the thing with Gideon is, in spite of being afraid, to obey God anyway. And I think that's the key. You know, we might fear something. We might fear someone. But if we have the word of the Lord on us, then we need to master our fear, master our courage. And that courage, keep up the fear and to move on and obey the word of the Lord. When, you know, sometimes as a young person, God might call you to the ministry. And then you look at us, you know, and sabi, parang ayoko ng buhay na ganoon, no? Lalo na pagka kayo naka-encounter ng mga pastor na puro kahirapan sa buhay ang na-encounter. Ayoko magpastor, ayoko. And yet, tinatawag ka ng Panginoon, and you are fearful, at ikaw ay natatakot, and yet, anyways, sabi mo, "Yes, I'd rather obey the Lord than not." May our fears, you know, of things that may come, our fears of situations, be eaten up by our fear of God. You know, that will lead to obedience. Ito ay magdadala sa atin sa pagsunod. You see, it's one thing to be afraid and be paralyzed by that fear. One thing to be afraid and paralyzed by that fear, and another thing to be afraid, you know, and believe the word of God and rise up and still obey the word of God. I think that, I don't know, I've not talked to Brother Norman and Sister Lynn about this, but when you were called to Palawan to live in a jungle, I know that sometimes, you know, there have been human fear in their heart, you know, how to live in the jungle with snakes, you know, with snake skin, you know, over the rafters, or everywhere. But, you know, God sends us in places where we are afraid sometimes. God tells us to talk to people whom we are afraid of sometimes. So are we at a point of your life, of our life, where we fear, and where fear has gripped our heart? Tayo ba'y nasa punto ng ating buhay na tayo natatakot, ang ating puso ay sinakmal na ng takot? Another example that I find in the Bible in the New Testament this time is the Apostle Paul. Sinabihan si Pablo ng Panginoon na magpatuloy na magpatutuo tungkol sa kanya sa kabila ng pagtuligsa ng mga tao. This is a place called Corinth, Acts 18 and verse 9. "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid.'" The reason why God told Paul this, because Paul was afraid. Siya po ay tatatakot. "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. We might find Paul, you know, as a brave person, and he developed to become one, you know, later on in life. He was not afraid to face, you know, people of high position. He testified before Felix, Festus, and the other Roman dignitaries. He was no longer afraid, you know, and he was not ashamed. And he wrote it in Romans 1, I am not ashamed. He was no longer afraid. But there were times, you know, when we feel afraid. And again, I say, that's okay. But what an assurance the presence of God brings to us. When Jesus would whisper to our ears and say, I am with you, as he whispered to Paul. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we pray today, Lord, abide with us, because we need you to drive our fears away. Lord, abide with us. Let your presence be with us, Lord God. Let us sense your presence. Let us know that you are there. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Somebody 2 weeks ago asked me, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because there's a prospect, you know, our company is downsizing. And I don't know if they will treat me. So I said, please pray for me. And so I pray that he will not be taken away, that he will not be terminated or asked or retrenched. You know, so are we harassed by fears? Do you dread something or someone? Tayo po ba inaras ng takot? Tayo ba natatakot sa isang bagay o sa isang tao? Tayo ba natatakot na baka may malakit sa atin physically? Tayo ba natatakot sa mga bagay na maaring dumating? Knowing that Jesus was with him gave Paul such a peace of heart and an assurance that everything will be fine. Lahat ng bagay ay magiging ayos. And that gave him encouragement to boldly speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we need that. That assurance, I'm with you. I never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. Go up and speak to people. Share the word of God. And preach to them. Ang pagsunod sa Diyos sa kabila ng ating takot na nadarama ay isang palatandaan ng pananampalataya sa Kanya. You know, obeying the Lord in spite of our fears is a sign of our faith in God. Okay lang matakot, pero kung andyan ang salita ng Panginoon, susundin natin ang salita ng Panginoon. Lalabanan ng ating pananampalataya ang ating mga takot, at ito'y magiging dahilan ng ating pagtatagumpay. You know, our faith will eat up, destroy our fears, and that becomes now our power to overcome. Faith will overcome. Sabi po sa 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, sapagkat napagtagumpayan na ng mga anak ng Diyos ang sanlibutan, at nagtatagumpay tayo sa pamagitan ng pananampalataya. Kung pupunuin lamang po natin ang ating sariling, ang ating mga isip, ang ating puso ng salita ng Panginoon Diyos, pag tilawalaan natin itong mga pangakong ito, tiyak po tayo na ang pananampalataya ay lalago. Fear disappears like a vapor before our faith. It disappears like a vapor. Faith triumphs over fear. Pananampalataya ay magwawagi laban sa ating pagkatakot. Life's greatest terrors becomes life's greatest testimonies. Yung ating kinakatakutan ay mauuwi sa pagpapatutuo, attesting to the power of God to uphold and keep, to uphold us and keep us being His children. So we say to God, Lord, abide with us. We need you to drive our fears away. Whatever it is that you are fearful about today, whatever it is, things that may come, things that may not come. Sabi nga po, majority of what we fear about never really happen. Majority of them, they really never happen. Kaya po kinakailangan na tayo ay nasa posture lagi ng confidence sa salita ng Panginoon. We need to fill ourselves with the Word of God. We need to talk about the Word of God. We need to think about them. Confess them, you know, appropriately. Hallelujah. You know, there's a there's a sense of how do you call that? A sense, not necessarily fear, anxiety. Anxiety siguro could be the proper word, you know. You know, how this new president would fare, you know, being the president. And there was such, you know, anxiety in the air. Paano kaya ito, you know? As I said in my first message after the election, he could be our worst president or he could be our greatest president. And that depends on us if we pray and pray hard for him. But with the inaugural address over, you know, were you not impressed? I was impressed. You know, I was impressed. No less than Senator Gordon said, you know, what a speech. It was precise, it was short, it was accurate, it was clear. Not downsized, but clear enough for us to understand. And there was no usual yung cursing, yung, you know, always laced with expletives, you know, his language. Yung yata yung kanyang, sabi nga ng businessman na kausap ko, I'm sorry to tell you, Pastor, but I think we're going to have a Canto Boy president. Canto Boy, no? Yung po yung language ng matatandang tao. Pag ikaw ay standby, nasa kanto ka. Parang Canto Boy. Canto Boy, no po. But so far, so good. So far, so good. 3 days, so far, so good. Let's keep on praying for him. Let's keep on praying for these people. And sabi ko nga kay Bing kanina, I think for the first time we're going to have a PNP that is not so much really corruption, you know, taking place. You know, on the first day of CPNP Bato, what did he do? He had all the generals, you know, have a drug test. Imagine that. Yung mga generals pinukunan ng drug test. This will be the honest to goodness, you know, transformation that we've been praying for. If it so ever happens, you know, remember that we've been praying, you know, for a government that is less corrupt, if not at all, totally non-corrupt. So, sana po, huwag natin bibitiwan ito pong mga pangyayaring ito. So, siguro meron pa rin konti anxiety. Watchful pa rin tayo. But, you know, just allay our fears by positioning ourselves before the throne of God. At nawa ang Panginoon ang siyang tutulong sa atin. Secondly, abide with us. Lord, abide with us because we need you to show us what to do. Lord, abide with us for we do not know what to do. Lord, abide with us for we do not know. I do not know what to do. Habang ginagawa ko yung message, sabi ko, parang sa akin tong, para sa akin yata tong message na to. Na sa totoo lang, you know, I see myself as the one being taught right now and given us, I prepare this message. I don't know what to do. Many times, I do not know what to do. Many, many times, I do not know what to do. You know, of course, we have the elders. I have my wife, who is my sounding board. I confer with her and I confer with the elders. And through them, many times, I receive the direction from the Lord. But it is in those quiet moments of my life, whether I am praying to the Lord or just musing, you know, or just parang nagbubulay-bulay, you know, when the word of the Lord would come to me. This message came to me when I was musing before the Lord, reflecting. You know, it was just like a sentence that came over my eyes, abide with me, or abide with us. And I said, I think that's a message of the Lord for the next time that I would preach. So when life's problems seem to be like tidal waves that are ready to sweep us away, then we can pray to God, Lord, abide with me. I need you to give direction. I do not know what to do. God commanded Moses to stretch out his rod over the Red Sea. Remember that Moses experienced since the beginning that God commissioned him, naranasan niya na siya ay makakita ng power ng God. Up, you know, to the 10 plagues that God inflicted upon the Egyptians time and again, he saw the power of God. It was displayed before his eyes, and he was in the center of it. Him and Aaron, sila ay nasa sentro nito. But he was not ready for what was coming. You know, and when they were marching away from the Egyptians, lo and behold, so to say, he was not ready for that big one. He was not ready. Or so he thought. He was ready for it, but he didn't know that he was ready. But behold, before them, the Red Sea, and behind them, the army of Pharaoh. And the people were panic-stricken. The people become so frightened that they began to accuse Moses in Exodus 14 and 11. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Did we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. You know how many times a similar thing had happened to us. We're not ready, you know, for a great problem, a great trial, a great storm coming upon our lives. So we are confronted with a great need, a great situation that we thought it is beyond our ability to face. Tayo po ay nakukumpronta ng mga sitwasyon, mga problema na napakalaki at sabi natin, hindi ko kaya ito. Hindi ko kaya ito. But just like Moses, you know, he had something in life that God had given him in order to face such a big situation. And that was the rod that was in his hand. But he never knew it. And he never perhaps was meaning to use it, not until God told him to do so. But it was in there, you know, it was a potential in him. It was lying there dormant. And I can liken that to our faith. Meron tayong pananampalataya na harapin ang malalaking bagay. You know, if we have been following the Lord, if we have been obeying the Lord, God has prepared us to meet the big things that are that would confront us. In the prophecy this morning, giants will face us. We cannot avoid them. Giants or problems, we cannot avoid them. It's not a question of if they come, but when they come. When they come. Storms of life. Is that a question of if? It is a question of when. When they come. Are we going to stand in the evil day and having done all, having done everything to stand and face the giants? We don't want war. We don't want, you know, facing the giants. We want to be peace, at rest, you know. We want to have that kind of life. But the Christian life is a life of faith, but it's also a life of war. And we are warriors. Whether we like it or not, we need to prepare ourselves for that. We need to prepare ourselves for that. And so, Moses cried out to God. And God responded in verse 15, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. Fear paralyzes. Nakaparalisa po ang fear. I don't know if Sister Cora can still remember this. But we prayed for someone many, many years ago over the issue of fear. A lady. So, magka-office mate po kami ni Sister Cora. Again, sa church noon, so wala po si Pastor Jude. So I had to, you know, deal with it. Sabi ko kay Sister Cora, pag-pray natin itong kapatid niya. Itong kapatid po na ito, wala na po siya sa ating kalagitnaan. Pero buhay pa siya at naglilingkod sa Panginoon. You know, sabi niya sa akin, Pastor, hindi ko alam kung bakit ako natatakot. No? Takot na takot ako. Sabi niya, hindi ko alam. Ano ba ang takot mo? Pag-alis ng mister ko, sabi niya, pupunta na ako sa labas. Doon ako mag-i-stay maghapon. Tapos hintayin ko po yung mister ko. Saka lang ako makakapasok. Sabi niya, sayang yung buong maghapon niya, mga kapatid. Can you imagine that kind of fear? It was a a great fear. You know, takot ka ba sa multo? Takot ka ba sa dilim? Ano kaya katakot mo? Hindi ko nga po ma-identify. And so, okay, let's pray. And so we prayed that day, we prayed that day, and she got delivered. And from then on, she no longer feared staying inside the house. Even sila po ay newlywed at the time, even when her husband would be off to the office. So meron ba tayong mga takot, mga kinakatakutan, sitwasyon, baka. So, kung di pa po sila nangyayari, hindi po natin dapat silang katakutan. You know, many times we don't know how to use what God had already given us to confront life's adversities. Hindi po natin ginagamit yung faith natin, hindi natin ginagamit yung word of God. Wala tayong sword of the Spirit to draw out from the ship, no? Wala tayong nun. Kasi perhaps wala ang ating pagbabasa, pagmemorya ng Biblia. Maraming pagkakataon hindi natin alam gamitin ang mga ibinigay sa atin ng Diyos. And like I said, Moses had his rod. Sa ngayon, meron po tayong shield of faith, the name of Jesus, the power of the blood, the word of God. God has equipped us. It is up for us to take this weapon, the weapons of our warfare and our carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Sabi po ng 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Meron po tayong mga weapons of our warfare na magagamit natin. Tayo'y sinangkapan ng Diyos para sa buhay Kristiyano at tuparin ang kanyang mga layunin. He never sends us to the battlefield of life or battlefields of life, armless. Hindi po tayo pinapupunta ng Panginoon no, sa larangan ng digmaan na wala tayong dalang armas. Hindi niya tayo pinadadala doon ng gayon. So God gave us equipment that we can use to fight life's battles and counter the storms. But as Moses seemed to have been rattled, medyo na rattled po si Moses. He didn't know what to do, and people were ganging up on him and saying, accusing him. You know, na pinabayaan mo na lang sana kami. He cried out unto the Lord. And that is where we find ourselves in sometimes. We get rattled, we cry out unto the Lord and go before him. And today we can do that. Lord, abide with us. Lord, abide with me, O God. I need you, Lord God, to tell me what to do. God understands our honest hearts. Alam ng Diyos. Siguro wala nang pinakamagandang panalangin na marinig ang Diyos mula sa atin, kundi yung ating mga honest prayers. God is not interested with flowery words, but is interested with the content of our heart to say what we mean and mean what we say before the Lord. Those are the true prayers that we can lift up to the Lord. We may not know what to do, but He knows. And God told him, Moses, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea. When we tell Jesus, Lord, I do not know what to do, in the quietness of our heart, we can be assured, I know what to do. Jesus asked the apostle Philip, you know, where can we find bread to feed all these people? The story is in John chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. And there was a great multitude that followed him, you know, and in his assessment, people were hungry. In John chapter 6, in verse 1, rather verse 4, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. God knows what he would do. So it's just proper for us to ask him, Lord, abide with us. We do not know what to do. We do not know what to do. Can anyone think Jesus was taken by surprise by the fact that there were so many people coming to him and were hungry and there was no food available? Can you think that he was surprised? Can we ever think that he was ever surprised to see those multitude of people knowing that there's no bread, it was a deserted place, and Jesus looking for food? Was he surprised? Was he surprised? Was the need so great enough that he will not be able to fill the need? No, never. He asked Philip to test him. He asked Philip. Sometimes we ask the question, why bad things happen to good people? Now, why is God allowing these things to happen to me? You remember, you know, the prayer in Our Father, there is the portion that says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I believe that every one of us experienced testings, trials, and temptations. That one thing we are going to face in life. And God Himself would test us where we are. You know, all construction materials used to build something go through rigorous quality control testing. You build a house, you build a plane, you build a car, you build anything. Now, the materials that are used there are go through a very rigorous quality control testing, compression testing, tension testing, all kinds of testing. I remember when I was still with the boat industry, and we were building boats and we were testing tanks. You know that, you know, sometimes I'm afraid our tanks will explode, you know, because of the testing that we bring it into. But nothing exploded. We were within the limits of the standard, you know, ng mga tanke na tank of water, tank of gasoline na gagamitin sa loob po ng yate. So sometimes, parang madideform na siya, sasabog siya. At ganun din tayo kuminsan. No? Now, when God allows the testings to come our way, it's like parang hindi ko na kaya to, sasabog na ako. No? Yun po yung mga familiar phrases na narinig natin. But, you know, as always, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, you know, God will not allow testings and trials to come our way. That is beyond our abilities, always within our ability. And so we can always draw from the grace of God, from the reserve of the grace of God on the day that David was about to be stoned by his own mighty men. You know, men he had fought with, you know, in many battles that are now turning against him and are now about to stone him. What did he do? He drew his strength from within. Sabi natin ngayon ay hugot. He drew strength from within. David had a Holy Spirit, and David had a deposit within. And the presence of God, he knew. Siya po ay, alam niya yung presensya ng Panginoon. You know, when things seem so dark, we know that we have a place in God, in the refuge of God, where we can draw strength from and say, Lord, I think I can hold, I cannot hold on anymore, but I drew strength from you. I know I have little faith, but I use everything I've got right now. Lord God, help me. And as always, God will be there. Nais ng Diyos at tayo maging matibay na materyales na bubuo sa kanyang espiritual na templo. Now, on the day that Pastor, sorry for using this illustration, but on the day that Pastor Jerry died, and Ami was crying, and everything suddenly crumbled, you know, and she was talking to him, and, you know, and she was crying, and I could hear that, you know, the pain, the sorrow, the mourning, you know, that hindi agad nawawala yon. And even up to this day, she will not watch some videos of Pastor Jerry, you know. But look at them today. Where is the family today? Where is the family? God did not abandon His children. God took care of them. God took care of them. And today we just had another widow in the church. And I'll be sure that they will be taken care of by God. I'm sure that they'll be taken care of by God. Because He's a good God. Alam natin yon. Some of us have experienced losing a business, lost some money to business. And God is aware of that. Alam ng Panginoon yon. And that's a time to cling, you know, ever more unto God than to let go. Than to let go. Yun po yung panahon na dapat tayo lalong mag-cling. So we know that the purpose of testing is never really to break us, never really to break us, so we can be thrown away and cast aside. You know, the testing of materials, the point is that so that makita kung saan, hanggang saan yung kanilang kakayanan. So that they will not be used beyond their strength and capacity to bear load. Yung mga bridges po na yan, lahat yan, merong computation. Kaya nilalagyan po ng highway authority o DPWH sa kalagay 40. Ibig sabihin, up to 4 tons lang ang pwedeng dumaan sa bridge na ito. And that's the capacity of them. You know, sa atin naman mga Kristiyano, inaalaw ng Lord ito para makita natin saan yung areas that we need strengthening and fortification. No, mahina pa ako dito, Lord. I need more of your grace. I need more of your word, O Lord God. Never did the Lord envision for us to be thrown away or cast aside, that we are no longer of use to Him. No, but for us to see where the greatest witness in our life lies and strengthen that aspect of our life. Palakasin yung aspeto ng buhay natin iyon. Tagalogin ko lang yan. Alam natin ang layunin ng pagsubok ay hindi talaga para tayo ay mabali at itapon, kundi upang makita natin ang dako ng kahinaan sa atin at palakasin natin ito. That's why it's a sign of dependence on God. When we say, Lord, I do not know what to do. In your honest heart, ask God, Lord, abide with me because I do not know what to do. I do not know what to do. I do not know. And I admit before God, many times I do not know what to do. I may have, you know, a sense of direction from the Lord, but I do not know what to do. When we are honest before the Lord, you know, and lovingly ask Him, abide with me, Lord. Abide with me. I need you. I do not know what to do. He will be there. He will come on time. Always on time. And finally, and I close with this. Number 3. Lord, abide with us. Abide with me. Because I need you to lead us or me in the way. Abide with us because we need you to lead us in the way. I especially appreciate the last song that we sang. If you do not go with us, Lord, we're not going. We're not going. We're staying here. Your presence means a lot to us. It means a lot to us, Lord. We want your presence to be with us. Abide with us, Lord. Abide with us. We need you to lead us in the way. We cannot just go without you, Lord. We cannot just go. Was it last week or the other week? I shared with you that you need to pray for us. I'm asking God's direction for us. You know, for the last quarter of the month, 2.5 months, or even 3 months, if the Lord so desires, we will be out from you, beginning of perhaps second week of October. And the reason for that is, ako muna po yung hawak ng mission sa Vietnam para si Brother at Sister Tess makapunta sa Cambodia at ma-explore nila at ma-sense nila if it's time for them to go to Cambodia. You know? At kung loloobin ng Panginoon at tama yung direction na yun, then I will be preparing the second couple. Yung susunod na couple doon and in transition para nang sa ganun po ay may ayos yun. At kinausap ko na po yung couple. And they're willing, you know? Hindi sila Ray, si Tessa kasi si Ray, willing sila. Pero yung papalit sa kanila, sino yun? No? So I talked to the couple and I said, you have a missionary call. In due time, I will reveal them to you. But sabi nila, yes. Sapagkat sabi ko sa kanila nung una, can you go to Myanmar? You know, and they were praying. And then I wrote them because as I said, we're seeking the mind of the Lord. So in my heart of hearts, you know, I sensed that God wanted them to go to Vietnam. So instead of asking them to go to Myanmar, I wrote them an email and I said, would you consider praying for Vietnam? And they were very happy, you know, because that confirmed what was in their heart. The first time they went to Vietnam, they felt that God has a place for them there. And I said, okay, fine. Then let's pray. So I'm saying this because if the Lord does not lead us, why would we go? Why should we go? If this is not God's will for us. So sometimes we say, Lord, your provision, sometimes, not always, but if there's money, then perhaps it's a go. It's a go because you cannot fly, you cannot swim in the ocean. So it's a go. And many times it becomes like a sign from the Lord, it's a go. This early there are signs. You know, if only money is the issue, I'm not talking about money in the church, but, you know, money that comes from the Lord outside the church. If that is, there's an indication there, somebody has said, Pastor Edwin, we're willing to support you. We're willing to save for you. And so if that is the sign, then it's a go. But I don't take it as a big go sign from the Lord. I want the Lord to speak to my heart that indeed, because we're not playing church. These are serious matters. These are lives that we're talking about. These are people who have children. People who have children who will be parted from their children. You know, and yet they're willing to go. They're willing to live their kids behind and go to the will of God. So, you know, Christians are likened to a flock, a sheep. You know, that the sheep has to be led. The flock has to be led. You cannot drive the sheep. You know, the shepherd must be in front of the flock. And that's the nature. We are likened to a sheep. So we need somebody to lead us. We need Jesus to lead us as a good shepherd. Why? Because sheep can wander away. Sheep can wander away. I have in my heart to sing this verse 3 of Calm the Fount of Blessing. There is a tendency for us to wander away. And we don't want that, but there is the propensity of the human nature to wander away from God. So abide with us, O Lord. Abide with us, Lord. We need you to lead us. We need you to lead us today. What do I do today, Lord? Where do I go today? Your third verse, Nalan. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a feather, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. This was written like 200 years ago, and yet still how true it is. So there's the proneness of our soul, of our heart, to wander away from God. And so daily we can ask that our Lord abide with me. Would you stay with me? Dumito ka sa aking Panginoon. Because I need you to lead me today. You are my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When David penned the song, you know, King Saul was after him. And he could write a song like that. The Lord is my shepherd. The stillness of his soul, resting upon the Lord. He was with God. God was with him. The presence of the Lord was so real in his life. What does a sheep do? John 10:27 tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When we are not hearing, and I say this to myself, when I am not hearing the voice of God, when I could not sense the direction of God, it might be that I am following far behind. It might be because that I am far behind, far behind. I'm not following the Lord. I'm not obeying the Lord. Kundi natin narinig ang tinig ng Panginoon, eh siguro malayo tayo sa Kanya. Hindi tayo sumusunod sa Kanya. Thomas, Apostle Thomas, in John 14:5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No. Thomas was saying, Lord, I do not know the way. We do not know the way. And Jesus replied back, I know the way. I am the way. I am the way. You know what? There are two roads going to eternity. Merong dalawang daan patungo sa walang hanggan. The first Jesus calls the broad way. And the second he calls the narrow way or the difficult way. In some translation, like mine. Tinawag ni Jesus ang una malapad na daan patungo sa walang hanggan. Ay kalawa, tinawag niyang makitid na daan patungo rin sa walang hanggan. Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by in it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. New King James Version is difficult. King James Version says narrow is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Malapad ang daan na nag-aatid sa walang hanggang pagkawatak. Two roads that lead to eternity. Eternity of destruction, you know, endless destruction, or eternity of eternal bliss with the Lord Jesus himself. The broad way leads to eternal destruction. The broad way is the easygoing life. The broad way is the valley of Jordan with the river of Jordan when locked. So the Jordan River, and he said, oh, I like this place. But there was only one problem with that. And it was near Sodom and Gomorrah. Never mind. Never mind Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we want an easy life. What left with Abraham was the hill country of Canaan. And it's a picture to us of the Christian life. That there are mountains to climb. Mountains to climb. And that the Christian life is all about. There are always mountains to climb. Higher than we have already attained. This is the way of the uncommitted. The broad way is the way of the uncommitted. Uncommitted to Christ, uncommitted to His service. It is a way where everything can be done. It is a way where, you know, tight and opening go in. There are no restrictions. You live the way you please. Live for yourself. It is, you know, the way of the flesh. It is the way of compromise as well. Yung makitid na daan, naghahatid sa buhay na walang hanggan kasama si Kristo. The narrow way leads to eternal life to Christ, with Christ. It is the way of the disciplined Christian. It is the way of the committed. It is the way of not all things can be done because there are moral boundaries, there are moral limitations. Live for Christ. You know, this is the way of living for Christ. It is the non-compromising way. And Jesus tells us, choose the narrow way where there are moral boundaries. Choose the narrow way where you will discipline yourself. I heard an inspirational speech of the number one SEAL. You know SEAL? A Navy SEAL? It was the Rear Admiral. You know, he led the team that took down Osama bin Laden. I think it was in University of Texas, you know, that he made an inspirational speech. You know, and he started with a very, very mundane, trivial thing. If you want to succeed in life, you know how to make your bed. Know how to make up your bed. Ano ibig sabihin ng Tagalog? Kung gusto mo mag-succeed ka sa buhay, kailangan maging maayos ka sa pagtitiklop ng higaan mo sa umaga. Start with that. So mundane, so trivial, so nothing, you know. But then start with that. And he is a fighter, he is a warrior. You know, sometimes, sa training ng Navy SEAL, there will be about 200 you know, plus more you know, that will start the training and only two or three graduates. I mean, that's how difficult it is. And here is a guy who has been into many wars and telling you, tiklopin mo yung kubot mo ng maayos. You want to succeed in life. There are certain little things in life that require discipline and commitment to do. And that includes prayer. That includes reading your Bible. That includes memorizing scriptures. So little. I admire the fellow who said, the DCAS English program, he has memorized the whole of the New Testament. Sir. Where do I stand with this guy when it comes to Bible memorization? And in the internet recently, you know, one had memorized 20 you know, books in the Bible. Ay-ay. You know, I would not attempt to do that, of course. I don't have the guts to do it. Little things matter. Little things matter. Kung wala tayong seasoning sa pagkain natin, the food becomes bland. Diba? Kaya ayaw, ano ba ito? Pagkain na ito, parang may sakit ang kakain. Walang lasa. Little things matter in life. The little things matter in life. You know, we need the buttons in our shirts. They are little things, but they are useful. We need buttons. Maliliit na mga bagay. Maliliit na mga bagay. You know, we look at the rocket ship and we tell, what a genius yung mga gumawa ng rockets na lumilipad. But there are little things in there that are very essential for that rocket ship to function properly and not explode and kill people. The little things matter in life. You know what? Getting up in the morning and meeting with Jesus may be a little thing for us. Some might have outgrown that, and you should not outgrow that. It is the little discipline things of our Christian life that we need not outgrow from. Makitid lang ang daan ng Panginoong Jesus. We cannot do anything we want to do. We are bound by a commitment. We have pledged allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus. We renew our covenant with Him. Every time we partake of the Lord's table, we renew our covenant with Him. Let's not trivialize that. This is something that is very important. Isaiah tells us that Jesus grew up in a dry ground. Isaiah tells us that Jesus grew up in a dry ground. In Isaiah 53, verse 2. The world, the flesh, and the devil will connive to convince us that the broad way is better. Magsasabwatan. The world, the flesh, the devil, tatlong kaaway natin. Magsasabwatan sila. They will connive to tell us, to tell our flesh, well, you know, the broad way is the better way. Why choose that? Isaiah tells us that Jesus grew up in a dry ground. In Isaiah 53, 2. For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The human level, hindi ko alam kung pogi si Lord. But I know that when we see Jesus now, we will be awestruck. You know? That the countenance of Jesus would cause us to be. I know that. Alam ko po yun. Pero, kung human standard ng kapugian, I don't know. I don't know. But what I know is, I'll be awestruck when I see him now. You see, he grew up in a place, a dry ground. And it is symbolic of the difficult life that Jesus lived. It was symbolic of that difficult life that Jesus lived. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The prophetic word came to us. We are to become warriors of God. And warriors are trained. And every warrior that finished up the boot camp, they all surpassed, they all overcame the boot camp, went through lots of difficulties. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Kahit po siya ay anak ng Diyos. The dragon is symbolic of that life, of the poverty that he grew up in, of the heavy staff that he bore, physically. It was also symbolic of the dry spiritual atmosphere around him. Why would God put Jesus Christ in Nazareth and not in Jerusalem, where the temple was? God has a reason for that. We know that Galilee is called the Galilee of the Gentiles. It is a land of darkness. And when you come to think of it, when Philip came to Nathanael and he said to Nathanael, I think we found the Messiah, and he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, what? From Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? If Galilee had a bad reputation, Nazareth was even worse. Why? Because Nathanael himself was a Galilean. Galilean si Nathanael. If he can say anything comes out of Nazareth that is good, are you joking? Are you kidding me? So Nazareth was a place that has no good reputation. Bakit doon niloob ng Panginoon na lumaki si Jesus? Because kailangan maging ganap si Jesus sa kanyang pagkatao. Kailangan isang lugar na katulad ng Nazareth. He had to be made perfect in his humanity. That's the reason why Jesus had to grow up there. He had to bear the burden, the literal burdens of life. He had to be made perfect. He needed to endure because he's going to fight the greatest battle of his life. And that's the cross. The pain of going to the cross. And for that matter, he had to grow up in a spiritually dry place where he will thrive. He will thrive. Do you find yourself in a company right now where it's dry? Na parang umaalis ka na doon, ayaw mo na doon. Where are you in your Christian life? Sometimes, sabi natin, kung siguro kung ganito lang ako, kung ito lang napasukan ko, kung ganun lang yung decision ko, don't cry over spilled milk. But you can pick up yourself and begin to do what you need to do. Now. And that is to know that Jesus is with you. Sa plano ng Diyos, kailangan gawin ganap si Jesus sa kanyang pagiging tao. Kailangan ng isang lugar ng Nazareth. Siguro, kaya ka nilagay ng Lord sa opisina niya, sa trabaho niya, ay sapagkat yun ang kailangan mo para ma-develop ka sa Panginoon. Jesus has set the way for us a pattern that we will not be perfected in life through pleasant experiences but through hard and bitter ones. We can never be perfected through pleasure, through pleasant experiences only, but through hard and bitter ones. God shapes us in those ways. This is God's way. This is the narrow way. This is the Jesus way. Can anyone of us think that we are better than Christ? Can anyone think, higit ba tayong mahusay kay Jesus kaya hindi na natin kailangan matutunang sumunod sa pamamagitan ng daan ng pagtitiis? And of course, the obvious answer is no, we're not better than Jesus. And how much more then do we need to learn obedience for the things that we should suffer? We are prone to wander away from the narrow and straight path of God. This we have to acknowledge, or else we might fall into the sin of presumption. So, minsan sabihin natin, hindi, nasa will pa ako ng Lord, wala na ako sa will ng God. Presumption. Therefore, we need to stay close to Jesus. He is our shepherd, and we need to constantly hear His voice. If you're not hearing the voice of God, perhaps you're not obeying Him, or you are far behind, away from Him. Tanging kapag malapit tayo sa Kanya lamang natin, maririnig ang Kanyang tinig. So today, we ask the Lord, Lord, abide with us, because we need You to lead us in the way. Do You know where You are going? Jesus knows the way. He will lead you. It puts us to task that we are to bring the gospel to all the places in the world where He would send us. And we need to follow the Lord. As a leader, as a pastor, you know, my mind is not just in Mandaluyong. My mind is wandering, you know, in Asia, asking the Lord, where should we go? Where should we settle? Where is our inheritance, O Lord God? Whatever responsibility God has given us, we need to be bifocal. We need to know where we are leading our family, and we need to know where the Lord is leading us in terms of our journey with Him. So Lord, abide with us because we need You to drive our fears away. Lord, abide with us because we do not know what to do. Lord, abide with us because we need You to lead us in the way. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. And as we partake of the communion today, can somebody pick the communion table, please? Let me pray first before we proceed with the distribution. From your heart, Lord, abide with me. Because I need You to drive the fears away. Drive the fears away, O Lord. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of getting sick, fear of losing the job, fear of meeting an accident, fear of encountering this and that. Lord, abide with me. Because I need You to show me what to do. Finally, Lord, abide with me because I need You to lead me in the way. As a good shepherd, lead me, Lord.